Good morning, family. It's really an important and good thing that we are meeting together in this way. This is a unique circumstance we find ourselves in, but this is still a time in which we are to be faithful. I can't help but think of 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1, where the Christians are addressed as the elect exiles. Seems very familiar. Many of us are in exile right now. I myself am in haven't been home yet. I'm in my family's art studio as I'm going to be quarantined for 12 days since I just returned from Texas yesterday. The elect exiles, I think that's a pretty good term for our predicament this morning. This morning's lesson is, what does God want? Understanding the will of God is something that should always be in the forefront of our minds. I want us to begin this lesson by looking at Matthew chapter 7 and reading something Jesus said. Matthew 7, 24 through 27. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Right now we are in a time of a storm, of testing. And testing is something unavoidable and also essential for humanity. God doesn't remove the storms, most often, but he does give a way to endure the storm. Here we see it's the person who hears the words of Jesus and does them. And so our goal this morning is to seek to be a wise person, not a foolish person. You can't tell who's wise or foolish until the storm hits. And the thing that is the difference between them is what is their foundation. So it's in these moments, this time of testing, in which wisdom and folly are revealed. So our goal is to hear what Jesus has said, to hear what God has said, and making sure that we are seeking to obey the things that he commanded us. We want to be wise, not foolish. We don't want to just remove the storm. We want to be built on the rock. So that's our goal this morning, is to understand, what does God want? What is he looking for? What is God looking for? This has been my prayer for you this morning, and I would like us to read a passage and pray before we look at the main text of this lesson. Let's go to Colossians chapter 1, and we're going to look at something Paul prayed for the church at that time, and it's something that we should be praying for as well. So Colossians 1, verse 9, and we're going to read down to verse 14. So, let's read this together. And so, from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with, listen to this, the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. May you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for all endurance and with patience and with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us from the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Let's pray about this before we go to our next passage. Father, we love you and we thank you for this time of testing. It is a hard thing that is going on here. It's a little scary. There's a lot of uncertainty. There's a lot of dread in society. But Lord, we want to know not just what to be savvy or wise, through this immediate circumstance, but in an eternal way, we want to be right with you. We want to know your will. We want to be fully pleasing to you. Help us, Lord, to endure this time by relying on you, by being built on your foundation of your Son. God, help us to increase in our knowledge of you, and may this time of testing refine us and grow us and help us to thrive so that we can be walking in a manner worthy of the calling, of being fully pleasing to you. We love you, Lord, and we trust you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Bible is full of important things to learn and understand. There's some passages that really stand out to me that I always tend to resonate strongly with. And they are passages that tell us directly what God wants, the things that he is looking for. And that's what Paul was just praying for here in Colossians, for the Christians in Colossae and for us as well, that we may be filled with the knowledge of his will, that we'd be fully pleasing to him. It's really easy, I find, to be acceptable by people, for people to pat me on the back and say, oh, you're doing a good job, or you're a good person. And while it is an admirable thing to do what is honorable in the sight of men, it is to God that I'm looking to be a good and faithful servant. I'm looking to walk in a manner worthy of his calling. And so this morning's lesson again is looking at, what does God want? And are we sure that we are standing on his foundation, this rock, instead of a foolish sand? So there's several passages that where God tells us, this is what I'm looking for. And perhaps we'll be doing a series on those passages in the near future. I recently found a passage speaking on these things, the things that God is looking for, in Isaiah. And this is going to be the center passage of this lesson. So let's go to Isaiah 66, and we're going to read verses 1 and 2. Isaiah 66, verses 1 and 2. Thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. What is the house that you would build for me, and what is this place of my rest? All these things my hand has made, and so all these things came to be, declares the Lord. And then here's, in my opinion, the juicy part. But this is the one to whom I will look, he who is humble, contrite in spirit, and trembles at my word. So here we see three things that God is looking for. We're going to hone in on these and try to understand them and apply them to our lives. So the first thing that God is looking for is someone who is humble. Now, humble is a word that sometimes gets misused in our modern language. For example, if we said someone was to come from humble beginnings, we would usually be implying that they came from a low-income upbringing, or they came from there in an impoverished state, rags to riches almost type of idea. Humility also sometimes is misconstrued to be that of a low self-esteem, where somebody who just thinks bad about themselves. That's not what humility is. Humility is not thinking less about yourself. It's thinking about yourself less. For example, if a professional athlete, let's say Michael Jordan, in his prime, and if someone approached him after a game in which he scored half the points or over half the points, and they said, Michael Jordan, you did an amazing job. You were the MVP of that game. And if he was to respond, actually, that was a pretty trash game of mine. I could have, I'm really not that good. That would not be him being humble. He would be, in fact, being untruthful in that moment. A humble response would be, we all worked really hard. or we put in a lot of practice, or, you know, it was a team effort, and see how different that is. It's not a degrading of self, it's a removal of the focus of self. And that is what humility is. It's not thinking less about yourself, it's thinking about yourself less. It's removing the spotlight, it's removing the elevation of yourself. Humility is seeing the world the way God sees it. Pride, which is the opposite of humility, is a changing of the values in which God has ordained and structured. For example, if I were to say I was worth this much, but God says, actually, no, you're right here. If I'm elevating myself over what God has made me to be and starting to view myself as superior to others, you know, it starts to manifest itself in arrogance. And that is an evil mentality of pride, and it is a usurping of God. You're trying to claim the seat of Creator, because the one who created us and said things were good, you're then, and are, if I'm prideful, I'm no longer being humble, I'm now saying, actually, it's God said it's here, but now I'm going to put a value here. And it works in the other direction as well. If God says, you're fearfully and wonderfully made, and then you reply, well, actually, I feel like garbage, you know, I think I am garbage, and so God says, you're valuable here, and you say, actually, I think I'm down here, that is also a prideful thing, because you're changing the values in which God has placed. Humility is stepping into the truth, seeing things as they are. And doesn't mean that you berate and downgrade yourself, but you see yourself as God sees you. So humility is not thinking less about yourself, it's thinking about yourself less. Taking the focus off of yourself and stepping into the truth, and then in essence being set free by the truth. This is the first thing that God is looking for in this passage. Someone who is humble. And if you think that you're humble, then you're probably not humble. And if you're a prideful person and you're surrounded by lots of humble people, then you probably think you're very humble until you encounter somebody else who is very prideful. And I remember experiencing that firsthand, and it was a very wide, it was a rude awakening for me. So, humility. First thing that God's looking for from this passage, not thinking less about yourself, but thinking about yourself less. The second point of this passage that God is looking for is someone who is contrite in spirit. Contrite literally means in this passage broken or maimed, hurt. And this idea of contrite in spirit is very similar to what Jesus says in his Sermon on the Mount, with blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And that is I need help. I am insufficient in just myself. I am spiritually bankrupt as an individual without Jesus. It is the recognition that I need a Savior. God isn't looking for somebody who can save themselves, because those people don't exist. We need to be people who are recognizing we are in need of a Savior. Jesus talks about this when he compares this Pharisee and this tax collector, and they're each praying, and the Pharisee is feeling pretty good about himself and is quite arrogant, and he is thanking God in his prayers that he was not like this tax collector, that he is this very spiritual bastion of righteousness as a Pharisee and very pompous. His head lifts his face towards heaven, and he tears his clothes, he's beating his chest and saying, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And Jesus said, well, who do you think walked away? I need a Savior. Jesus also says, I came to heal the sick, not the healthy. And in reality, there are no healthy people, because we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We've all stumbled. We've all fallen short, and we need redemption, which is only found in Jesus. When we lose that, when we think that we have arrived and that we have pulled ourselves up by our own bootstraps, then we're going in a very bad direction. Now, the third and final thing that God is looking for from this passage is someone who trembles at his word. This is the one that really got me through this passage. Because many of us, how many sermons have you heard? How many Bible classes have you attended to? How many devos have you led or listened to? How many days have we read this through our lives in our daily readings and public readings? How much exposure do we have to Scripture? Many of us, it's been quite a bit. And through the large amount of familiarity with the Word, there's a temptation to be quite casual with it and to forget just exactly what are we reading and listening to. It's kind of like when you're in a relationship and when you're on your first couple dates, it's very exciting, thrilling, and you try to really put on your best. And then, as many of you probably have experienced, once you've been married, you know, 5, 10, 20, 30 years, sometimes you can be really casual around each other and you would do things that you would not have done your first few months together. I'm sure I'll get some really good stories from this in the near future. I was going to give you a great story of me and Annie, but since Annie's not here to defend herself, that wouldn't be fair. And while she would have... No, I can't say that. Anyways, becoming casual or flippant from just being around something so long, so familiar, that can be a dangerous thing. When Annie and I were dating and I was about to propose to her, there was this one, the day I was going to propose to her, I was having trouble breathing and I even had some shaking. And I've never had that problem before in my life. And what was going on was Annie and I were in love. I knew she was going to say yes when I proposed to her 7 years ago. But the significance of the moment was I was feeling it in the weight of it all. That I was going to be giving my life to somebody, and somebody was going to be giving me their life, and we were going to be together forever, which I knew that's what we were signing up for, and I was thrilled about it, but there was still the significance of this is actually happening, and it's no small thing, and it was causing me to tremble. Who inspired this to be written? Is this just a textbook or a history book or is it just a moral compass? Or is this alive and active and authoritative? And when you just take a moment to think, what are we holding, reading, and listening to? But this is God's word. It causes you to tremble because of the significance of this thing. And what I find myself struggling with is it's become so familiar that I've become to be casual with it. And that's not what God's looking for. He's looking for one who trembles at his word. You see, if we don't recognize God's word as what it is, then we're going to miss Jesus. We learn about Jesus through his word. It's like if someone's drowning in the ocean and someone throws them a life preserver, it's the only thing that's going to save them from it, from drowning. But if they don't take seriously this life preserver, they're like, I'll maybe get around to it, or I know it's there, but I'll just keep it on the shelf, or I'll just let it kind of drift over there. We're not going to make it. It's kind of like Jesus talking about if somebody blasphemes the Holy Spirit, it's unforgivable because we need the Spirit. It's what Jesus died for to give us, for us to have him, the Spirit. And if we don't reach out for it, we don't recognize what it is, what he is, then we don't have any hope. If we don't see and hear and tremble, recognize the significance of God's word, then we're missing it. So God is looking for someone who trembles at his word. Not just who mentally accepts, oh yeah, that's true, but trembles at it. It doesn't mean we should be like physically shaking every time we do public reading, but that we should never lose perspective of the reality of what a powerful thing the Word of God is. So today, in conclusion, this is a unique time that we're living in. This is a time of testing for us to see, are we people who God's looking for, or are we people who he is not looking for? Are we foolish, or are we wise? And the wise being those who hear his word and do it. And this morning, we now know more of God's will. We know that he's looking for someone who is humble. He's looking for someone who is contrite in spirit. And he's looking for someone who trembles at his word. Those three things never get turned off. It's never appropriate to not be humble. It's never okay to not be contrite in spirit. And it's never okay to take casually the word of God, regardless of what circumstances we find ourselves in. So God is looking for these things. Let's make sure that he finds them in us. Let's be the people he wants us to be. And what is exciting about this time is that people are going to remember what's going on in 2020, years from now. They're going to look back at this moment, and it's going to be burned in people's minds and hearts. And it's in this storm that the world needs to see that there is a rock to stand on. And that rock is Christ. And the people that are on that rock are people who are humble, contrite in spirit, and trembling at his word. So let's make sure that we are not people who give in to anxiety or give to hoarding mountains of toilet paper. Or if you do have lots of toilet paper, be sure to share. But let's make sure that we're people of compassion, people of strength, people of love, but the people in whom God is looking for. And then the world sees that there's room on this rock for more, and that there is strength and stability. This world is unpredictable. These storms are intimidating, but our foundation is sure. And so let's make sure that we're standing on this rock together. I wish we were all here together. We could have our potluck together and talk. We have so much to catch up on, but let's make sure we stay in touch. It is also 2020, in which we have the internet and our phones, and everybody is still a phone call, text message away. Let's make sure we're meeting each other's needs. If anybody has stuff going on where you have groceries run or pharmacy things picked up or other things that can be of service where we're not compromising our social distancing and quarantine, there's still lots of ways we can serve and help each other and pray for one another and encourage. And also, if you have friends or people outside the church that we can reach out to, this is not a time for the church to be slothful or for us to be inactive. There's still great work to be done, even though our culture is shifting during this unique time. So be elect exiles, not just exiles. Let's be the people that God is looking for. And after today's lesson, we now have a better idea of what that is. I love you all, and we're going to be okay. Thanks for being a part of this service this morning.